I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Now, I've spoke a lot. This is killing us, and it's destroying our country. Everybody. It's affecting all of us. In Butler County, times the 3,300 counties in the United States. These people aren't doing anything, and they're causing it. No matter, it don't matter who elected them, what they done. We've elected these people, and they're not responsible is what they're telling us.
Yeah, he nailed it. That is a sheriff in Butler County, Ohio, speaking on behalf of every law enforcement agency across the nation. Those we elected to provide law and order have walked away from that long ago. And, of course, with the open border policy, we're besieged and invaded by illegals. Majority, I will say this, majority are coming here just for a better life. But even those, if they're not getting the better life as quick as they want, they might turn to crime. You got a nice car there. I'd like to have that car. And I don't want to work for it. I'll just take it. There are good people that suddenly go bad. Sometimes because of condition, sometimes because of need, sometimes because of they just want it. But we also know for fact that in the midst of those coming across the border illegally, and yet with the help of the Biden administration, even to the extent of flying some of them into our country, they're here to do harm. Let me ask you a question. Riddle me this. Do you think everyone that the Biden administration has flown directly into the U.S. was properly vetted, that they know exactly who they are, what they're going to do once they get here, and we know everything about them? Do you think they of course not. And right now I'm looking at a report that Mayorkas is, of course, being pressured to explain, one, where these folks were freed, because the administration not really made that clear. But on top of that, how the terrorists that they had in their possession ended up being freed. Specifically, Homeland Security Republicans have said, we've had numerous on the terrorist watch list. So in a letter they sent to him yesterday, asking Mayorkas, give us a classified briefing on several reported cases of migrants on the terrorist watch list getting released into our interior. And specifically, they're talking about the terrorist screening center, quote, made a redetermination confirming an alien that they were holding as a terrorist member of a group from the Middle East, and ICE located and did arrest him. And there was another case where a Pakistani man allegedly on the terrorist watch illegally entered, was apprehended by Border Patrol the following day. Less than 2 weeks later, it's confirmed he's on the watch list, but by then they'd already been released into our country. They're destroying our country in front of us. I had a call from one of my sponsors today. I'm not going to name it because there's a conversation we were having, but he's obviously, like you, very concerned about what's happening in our nation, that we're just reaching a point where we're not going to be able to maybe save it. I keep insisting to others who say that we can, but we must fight, fight, fight. And he said, they'll lock you up for saying that, Larry. I said, well, let them try. I do know right now I'm looking at continuous breach of our El Paso border barriers. We heard this the other day where migrants just suddenly charging the Border Patrol agents. I said, migrants, they're illegals. And even risking cutting themselves, ripping the razor wire back so they could get in, and they pressed past our Border Patrol agents and even National Guard members who were there and even Texas Highway Patrol officers until they reached a fence where they couldn't go any farther. Doesn't mean they won't try again, and apparently they're still continuing. I got another story here, an illegal alien rapist among nearly 2 million known gotaways. 2 million gotaways under Biden. That means we don't know anything about them. They came across in the middle of the night. Many sometimes in camouflage gear, which the other part of the conversation I was having with this sponsor today about how many Chinese have come in there. He said, I don't see any women or children with them. I said, you're not. These are military age men being sent by China. They didn't just get out of China to escape communism. They were sent here, and they have a mission. What the mission is and at what point, his speculation, my sponsor's speculation was, if Trump wins, they will break all holy hell open. I said, well, even if he loses, they plan on breaking all holy hell open, in my view, but we'll see what happens. So Peter Ducey of Fox News raised a very solid, basic question to Karine Jean-Pierre.
Do you guys think that some big cities in this country have liberal DAs that are too soft on crime?
Look, what I will say is I'm not going to speak to every state or city here. It's not for me to speak to. We have been very clear about this. Anyone who commits a crime and is found guilty needs to be held accountable.
No,
that's what this president believes.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. So you will not stand up and say George Soros appointed and basically bought DA positions around the nation, and even VP Harris putting money into funds to get people out of jail without a bail. You're not going to criticize that, are you? Because you're either on their side or you're afraid of the side. I think both as far as KJP and Biden. The question is very simple. Do you think people are fleeing the big cities because of that? Well, I'm not going to look. I've been very clear. I'm not going to discuss every city. And he didn't ask you about every city. He asked you about the major cities. Quentin, let's play that again, because it's just in that little clip, Peter Ducey raises a very basic question. And what do you get back? Blah, 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 BS.
Do you guys think that some big cities in this country have liberal DAs that are too soft on crime?
Look, what I will say is I'm not going to speak to every state or city here. It's not for me to speak to. We have been very clear about this. Anyone who commits a crime and is found guilty needs to be held accountable. That's what this president believes.
He does not believe that. If so, he would not be trying to stop Governor Abbott from arresting illegals entering Texas. And he would be enforcing the law which he took an oath to do to protect our nation from all enemies, foreign and domestic. But to the point raised by Peter Ducey, folks leaving the big cities like the Big Apple. Well, if some of you watch Real Housewives of New York City, come on, guys, if you do. I'm not trying to embarrass you. If you're interested in it, that's fine. But one of them, you probably know if you watch Leah McSweeney. I don't know her. I've seen pictures of her. But she says, I'm getting out of Big Apple. I'm leaving because of the crime spike. She says in a video, people are smoking crack for breakfast in Times Square. And it's captioned public service announcement. When she's making those remarks, she put it up on her Instagram story yesterday. People are smoking crack for breakfast in Times Square. We've heard repeatedly how bad it's gotten in Times Square. I would not take my children to New York now to go see Broadway shows. Now, that's hurting the entertainment industry, just like COVID did. And who wants to go to downtown New York City now? Who wants to go to downtown St. Louis when you get down to it? And today is opening day for the Cardinal baseball, their home openers. There will be a lot of people there, but there are a lot of people that say, I'm not going downtown for any event again. I'm not worried maybe once I get inside the stadium, but I go through a metal detector. I'm not worried about maybe something inside the stadium, but I am worried about getting from my car to the stadium. I'm not trying to talk you out of it. You understand that? And I'm not trying to put fear into you. But you have to be more aware of your surroundings nowadays. And if I'm going somewhere where I got to go through a metal detector, I think more than once about going to that event. That's me. But then you also have, again, on the left side, a perfect example here of how they want to spread the blame around and say it's everybody but Joe Biden in this administration. One of the stars of a new movie called Civil War says the big-time driver of division in America is the news media. Now, that's the caption. When she's blasting the news media, is she really talking about the news media, or is she talking about the fake news media and or the situation we have with state-controlled media? Let me read it for you in detail. Kirsten Dunst, who is in the upcoming movie Civil War, in an interview with Variety, she spoke on numerous subjects, including raising Christian kids and her clear dissatisfaction with Joe Biden being the only option for Democrats in 2028. And she also claimed that the Civil War fascist president they portray in the movie is not based on former President Trump. But she did say the political and cultural divisions of the U.S. ripping the country apart. She says media really stokes it big time. The media is forcing us to choose a side. Everything's a lot more complicated than that. I would agree with that. And my approach is, again, I'm not going to lose a relationship with a family member or a friend over politics and our differences. Now, if they choose to walk away, so be it. But I'm not going to. I'm still willing to sit and talk. And we don't have to discuss that all the time. We can discuss other things. We can find ways to unite. If you're a patriot, that's my first question. If you're a patriot, then we're good. Beyond that, we have some differences. So be it. Unless you are manipulating and abusing our children, either their mind and or their bodies, I can tolerate you even if I don't like your views, and we can find things to share a drink over. Which, by the way, I saw a report that says older people are drinking more than ever. Wonder why? Not that I'm there. So how are you handling Bidenomics, by the way? Let me just throw that question at you. Higher prices for groceries, fuel, and yet Biden insists you are doing great. You're doing great. But has your income increased as much as inflation? And the Biden administration has plans which will hurt you even more, and the Biden administration sees nothing wrong with it.
The president supports the pause on pending, which is on pending, obviously, additional approvals of LNG export licenses to evaluate the economic and climate impacts on consumers and communities. He supports that pause.
She's talking about KJP, the White House, agreeing to pause exporting some of our fuel, our liquid natural gas, to countries that need it and were willing to pay for it. Well, there you're going to undermine another industry, obviously fossil-based, and we're worried about the climate impact of what, where it's going, and we're worried about climate impact here as well, I guess. Of course they are. They're not worried about the cost it's going to create for everyone everywhere and putting maybe more workers at these liquid petroleum plants out of business. And, of course, we have our strategic oil reserve.
In 1973, after the Middle Eastern members of OPEC cut off oil exports to the U.S., President Gerald Ford signed a law creating the emergency stockpile. The U.S.'s reserves are located along the Gulf Coast in underground salt caverns at four major facilities in Louisiana and Texas. They hold more than 600 million barrels of petroleum. But Mr. Biden's move comes at a complicated moment, with his administration trying to strike a balance between boosting the economy while also cutting oil and gas use because of its impact on climate change. Days before last month's UN climate summit, the president was asked if he's being inconsistent.
Well, on the surface, it seems like an irony, but the truth of the matter is you've all known, everyone knows, that the idea we're going to be able to move to renewable energy overnight and not have, and from this moment on, not use oil or not use gas or not use hydrogen, it's just not rational.
It's not rational, and yet you keep shoving it on us. That was from November of 2023, or shortly thereafter at a conference when he was asked that question, basically, without saying it directly, isn't it hypocritical? Well, it might seem like that, but really it's not, not when you take everything into account. And Biden admitting we cannot turn key from gas, fossil fuel, to electric overnight. We've been saying that. But they still want to have, by 2035, no gas cars sold in California, none, if they're new. And they're pushing manufacturers to produce and create more electric vehicles when folks don't want them. Hertz had a lot of electric cars in their fleet for rental cars. No one wanted to use them. They're getting rid of them, obviously at a loss. And on top of that, one of the head honchos at Hertz that was probably behind it, he's out. And Biden saying, well, we can't get there overnight, but we're going to force you to do it anyway. Is that what it comes down to? Why? Because you can? And the gas prices that we're having right now, I mentioned that in this at the previous hour. It's worth noting again. AAA reporting just yesterday, the nationwide average price for regular gas topping $3.54 a gallon. $3.54, that's average across the nation. A spike of more than 45% under Biden. 45% jump under Biden. And it's also pointed out that in the past month, gas prices went up 20 cents to $3.34, about a dollar more expensive than when Trump left office. They were at $2.38. Do you remember those days? And you're going to have it continue to go up. Goldman Sachs estimating, partly because of instability in the Middle East and Ukraine, and oh yes, Biden's war on American energy and independence, because of those factors, and I stress again, Biden's economic war on American energy and independence. Goldman Sachs predicting gas prices could reach $4 by May. And I've seen reports where they're already approaching north of $5 in California again. Coming up, a guest is going to look at the multi-front war defending America from political Islam, China, Russia, pandemics, and racial strife. I would add, and Joe Biden. You don't want to miss this interview coming up. Get your friends and neighbors ready for it. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is going to be full of information, but we're going to get in as much as we can. Let me set it up for you by pointing out he's the founder of SaveTheWest.com. That's a website dedicated to saving Western civilization from itself. And he's got a new book out, The Multi-Front War, Defending America from Political Islam, China, Russia, Pandemics, and Racial Strife. Kenneth Abramowitz, glad to have you with us, sir.
Happy to be with you. Thank you.
That is a very extensive title, and boy, you hit on a lot of hot buttons, everything from political Islam, which would be jihadist, I assume, China, Russia, pandemics, and racial strife. Where do you want to start, sir?
Well, let me
at the beginning page. The Go ahead.
Yes. So let me try to describe the book in 30 to 45 seconds. The reason I wrote the book is I saw many, many challenges facing America, in round numbers 100, and I didn't see the country capable of managing 100 challenges at the same time. And I didn't see that the think tanks were presenting the entirety of the problems facing the country. So the management, the president, everyone running the country or a state just managed issue by issue, rather than having an all-encompassing vision of the 100 issues and what to do about them. So that's why I wrote the book. It's like a radar screen in an airport. I want to see all the planes coming in or out, not just half of them or a quarter of them.
Yeah, you want a full view, but then, of course, like you say, you're going to have to be specific on a target. Now, in the previous hour, I was describing a CNN exclusive claiming that three people who were assigned to go in and at the end of Afghanistan, while we're trying to get everybody out of there, they said we had to basically create a plan from scratch. They had no pre-prepared plan. And you're talking about these think tanks. They're all sitting around and they're thinking, but what are they missing? The whole picture or the minutia that they need to have?
Well, they're focused on the minutia. They're not seeing the big picture. So I'll give you an example. In the book, I highlight the three groups of bad guys. And I color code them, the reds, the greens, and the blues. The reds are the communists.
You can't do it. We can't have you identifying people by color. That's racial right there. You can't do that. Oh, you said red, green. You said red, green, and blue. Well, that's American Indian red, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes. I know the problem. I feel your pain.
You don't feel any pain for me. Go ahead.
So the red is traditional color for communists. And they have red flags all over the place on May Day. And that would be China, Russia, and their friends. Right. And then the greens, traditional color for Islam. And there I highlight the Islam myth, not the Muslims, the Islam myth. And the difference is that, well, I'll get to it in 30 seconds. And then just to finish the picture, the blues, which is the traditional color for the United Nations. So that's the blues, that's the UN, World Economic Forum, and the drug cartels. And now just going back to political Islam, Islam is both a religion and a political movement simultaneously. Now, the religions are protected in America, as you know, in the Constitution, but political movements are not. So I would argue that political Islam should be illegal. In other words, there's nothing wrong with saying I'm Muslim, but you have no right to go to someone else and tell them you have to be a Muslim like me or I'm going to kill you.
That is the dividing line and the death line. I mean, because up to you stating that, Christian organizations can also be looked at as not just religious but political. But they're not demanding you adhere to what they put under pain of death.
Yeah, well, yes. Although in history, Christianity...
Sure, Crusades.
We're trying to impose religion on people. But as Christianity reformed, Catholics no longer are killing Protestants, and Protestants don't kill Catholics. Basically, they agree to disagree.
Right.
And that's a hallmark of Western civilization. Look, we're all 95% the same. If we kill each other because we're 5% different, there's going to be no one left living in the world. And so we've learned the lesson of history that let's just agree to disagree on issues like this. But the Islamists have not accepted that principle, and they want to convert everybody to Islam or kill them. And so that's what I'm saying should be criminalized.
And they do it with inside their own religious sect, as did Christians. I'm not trying to cut any lines in difference for anyone. I'm Christian. I have a lot of Jewish friends. I have some Muslim friends. I have some Buddhist friends. And even inside the Christian religion, you've got Baptists, you've got Presbyterians, Episcopalians. I mean, you've got all kinds of branches. Why does everyone want to continue to find the dividing point rather than the unifying point?
Well, that's the point. That's the message of my book, which is we the people who are normal, people who accept the Constitution, Bill of Rights, accept the principle of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for 100% of the people. We have to protect our normalness because the reds and the greens and the blues believe in life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for 10% of the people. In other words, the elites. So basically, this war that we're in, I call it World War III, is basically a war between we the people and they the elites. And it's being fought in the U.S., outside the U.S., it basically, every country is fighting every country everywhere. So I call it World War III, but it has its origins in World War I. Look, human beings have always been fighting between good and evil. So this is just our generation challenge.
We've always recognized and more recently made it clear that the U.S. can only fight on so many fronts to be effective, and we can't be spread all over the globe. Again, the title of the book is The Multi-Front War, Defending America from Political Islam, China, Russia, Pandemics, Racial Strife. Let's bear down on the red, that being China and Russia.
Okay. Now, China and Russia have friends, and the friends are known as Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea, among others.
Right.
And they, as I said before, believe in life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for 10% of the people. And they basically want to take over their regions and then take over the world. They're after world domination. And therefore, we have to stop them.
Everybody would agree. My audience would agree with that. But that's the plan. But that's plan A. Good thing there are 25 other letters in the alphabet.
Well, the thesis of my book is that if you have 100 challenges, you have to have a strategy for each of the 100 challenges. It's not like at a restaurant, you know, where you can pick a fish, a chicken, and a vegetable. You know, you don't eat everything on a menu at a restaurant.
Right.
But when you're dealing with 100 challenges and three color-coded bad guys or groups of bad guys, you can't just pick and choose. You can't say, oh, you know, it's like being a juggler, and you have a red ball, a green, and a blue. And I say, Mr. Juggler, which of the three balls is most important? You say, excuse me, I'm a juggler. They're all important. And so that's the
unless one of them is a ball of dynamite, and then it changes everything. Now, quickly, I don't want to. We don't have a lot of time left, so I want to touch briefly on the racial strife. What are you identifying as the racial strife issue? Which I think is pretty evident, but I want to hear from you.
Racial strife is totally unnecessary, and very dismaying. In America, through our accomplishments, basically eliminated racism. We had a society.
There are those who are going to disagree with you on that, and there are those who are insisting still we need black graduations only at various universities and college, even if they're not historically a black university.
Right, which is pure racism. I'm a big fan of Martin Luther King, who said, I want a colorblind society. And I agree. And he said, but we have to measure people on their merits.
Right.
Of what they can do or can't do, not on some simplistic factor of how white or not white your skin is.
All right, what and about so pandemics? I'm sorry to push you along, but I wanted you to have a chance to say directly about pandemic.
Well, I monitor seven forms of warfare, kinetic plus others, and then in particular, chemical and biological is a form of warfare. And China basically declared war on us through chemical and biological means.
Right.
COVID killed 1 million people, and fentanyl killed 1 million people. So the Chinese have killed 2 million Americans in the past 10 years.
Point made.
We don't even know.
Yeah, and unfortunately, as you said, we've got so many targets in the area, and we got to recognize all of them and then formulate a plan for each one.
Very good.
Well, thank you. Maybe I'll do a forward for you next time. We'll have to schedule another time to have you back again. Kenneth Amber Witz, I mispronounced it.
Abramowitz.
Thank you, sir. I apologize. The multi-front war defending America from political Islam, China, Russia, pandemics, racial strife, founder of SaveTheWest.com. I'd say check it out. And we will plan a future engagement, sir.
Whenever you're ready.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
Well, there you have it, folks. I mean, a lot of it, you probably had some inkling once we start laying the ideas out. And I think he's exactly right. Can we fight all 100 at one time? No, but we better have a plan for each one as it truly raises its head and becomes more essential. Juggling the three balls, as he was noting, if one of them happens to be a ball of dynamite with a fuse lit, that's going to be the more important one. The other two still have to be handled. But obviously, priorities move forward. Coming up, Trump being denied another court judgment, and MSNBC is celebrating with champagne.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Make plans now to be at Lit Cigar Lounge this month. Lit is hosting numerous events. That includes live music. And there's an easy way to check on what is happening and when. You simply go to Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. By the way, to go to Lit, you don't have to be a member. Everyone is welcome. Just another reason that Lit won Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. Lit Cigar Lounge on Facebook.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
In a ruling yesterday, the judge overseeing the case rejected Trump's request to delay the trial until the Supreme Court rules on his presidential immunity claims. But Trump's lawyers are trying another tactic, asking the judge to delay the trial because of prejudicial publicity. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office was quick to hit back. In a new filing, prosecutors say the former president has been the one to stoke and encourage publicity around the case, and that he shouldn't be rewarded with an adjournment based on media attention that he is actively seeking. Joining us now, NBC News legal analyst and former federal prosecutor Andrew Weissman. Andrew, does this case appear to be on track to start on the 15th?
Absolutely. All signs are that Judge Marchena has had it. All of the scheduled motions were supposed to be in weeks, if not months ago. All of the efforts you're seeing at the last minute by the former president to delay this trial have been rejected.
Well, so far, we have not hit April 15th yet. So that case could be pushed again. And in fact, let me share a piece from, that was MSNBC reporting on the judge not going to allow Trump for another delay on the case out of New York. And then you've got CNN looking at other cases in general. In fact, it begins this way. A criminal case that was once viewed as the most open and shut prosecution against former President Trump has been mired in delay, unresolved logistical questions, fringe legal arguments that appear to have hijacked the judge's attention. Do you hear the way that is written? It suggests that Trump is doing something bad and nasty and actually illegal to get delays. May I put in front of you Hunter Biden? No comparison? Every comparison. But in this case, the article continues that the U.S. District Judge Cannon, who they want to point out was appointed to the federal bench by Trump in 2020, has drawn out the case with an unusual, they say, and this is supposed to be a news report. Or wait a minute, let me see. Did they label it actually as an analyst? They are treating it like it's a, I guess you could call it an analytical view, how legal fights installing by the judge could push Trump documents trial until after the election. All right, let's say it's kind of a mix of facts and also analysts, but you clearly get analysis and opinion when they say the judge has drawn out the case. Could just say you've drawn out the case, but well, they want to add with an unusual eyebrow-raising approach that has slant written all over it, doesn't it? And they pointed out that prosecutors' impatience was evident in fiery filings late Tuesday night when special counsel Jack Smith asked for briefs that were premised on a fundamentally flawed understanding of the case that had, quote, no basis in law or fact, blah, 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 more legal jargon. In the meantime, today we have another case that would be the one against Trump in Georgia. They're all over the place. And why? Because you've got prosecutors who want to persecute Donald Trump and his followers. And that's, I told you yesterday, you're going to see the mainstream state-controlled media ramp up attacks against Trump and followers. And the courts and those pushing those stories are going to do the same if they're in position, because they want to destroy him. But this story out of Atlanta raises still another issue. The Atlanta area judge ruling today, he would uphold the criminal indictment against the former president in Georgia, rejecting an argument that Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election were protected under the First Amendment. This is still going to be relying on what the U.S. Supreme Court decides as to what immunity he has or not on these cases. But the ruling is the latest step inching the state racketeering case against Trump forward. But what they also recognize, this could in fact put off a trial until after the November election. That's not what they want. They want it all done before then because they're convinced they will win. Well, if you have the jury set up, basically bought and paid for, yeah, you'll be able to convict him, and you'll do it before November, so they'll look for excluding him from the ballot for that reason. Keep in mind, we had states already say that they were going to strike him from the ballot, and then being told by the Supreme Court you can't do that. Nothing's going to stop them because they've already made it clear. We don't like the Supreme Court. We don't like their ruling, so we don't follow the law. We're just not going to. Now, if it's something they really like and you don't want to follow it, there'll be holy hell for you to pay. On the Russia-Ukraine issue, first of all, before I mention that, Biden and Netanyahu are going to be meeting. It'll be their first meeting, or at least talking on the phone, going to be their first talk since the accidental strike Israel carried out, killing 7 kitchen workers for the United Kitchen operations. Israel's admitted it was a bad decision, not sure how it happened. They were not trying to kill the aid workers, but for some information they had, they thought they had real legitimate targets, or they were not where they're supposed to be. Bottom line is, Israel could have just copped out and lied and said, well, we had Hamas leaders in their mix. No one would be able to deny that if Israel said it. That in itself should tell you Israel is trying to play not only by the rules, but going above and beyond. And again, I remind you, if they had wanted to destroy and wipe out Palestinians in general, they would have wiped Gaza off the face of the map a day after October 7. But they've given Palestinians a chance to leave if they can. Of course, they might be shot in the back by the Hamas terrorists because they want them there as human shields. So anyway, Biden and Netanyahu are going to have a phone conference over that issue. And back to Ukraine, Russia obviously invaded Ukraine originally, claiming that if it joined NATO, that would put NATO forces on Russia's front steps. Well, today, new developments, Secretary of State Blinken.
It is, as always, very good to be with my friend and colleague, Dmytro Kuleba, the foreign minister of Ukraine. We just came from a session with all NATO allies and Foreign Minister Kuleba, and I think it's safe to say that the support for Ukraine, the determination of every country represented here at NATO remains rock solid. Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Our purpose at the summit is to help build a bridge to that membership and to create a clear pathway for Ukraine moving forward.
We will be looking forward to the outcome, but of course we believe that Ukraine deserves to be a member of NATO and that this should happen sooner rather than later.
Now, of course, if the U.S., which is a part of NATO, saw Ukraine being attacked, and it was also a NATO member, other NATO nations, including the U.S., would be obliged to be directly involved in the battle against Russia. I don't mean just supplying weapons and arms and cash. I mean, actual boots on the ground if necessary. And 9 months ago, German TV did a piece on what would happen if Ukraine were inside NATO. This was 9 months ago with the war underway.
Ukrainians fight to defend the sovereignty of their country. And in the eyes of many in the West, they're also fighting and dying to defend European values. But who will guarantee the country's future security? Will it be the EU or rather the United States? Can Ukraine even be a full member of the Western military alliance, NATO? Or is joining the North Atlantic Treaty Organization just a pipe dream for Kiev?
It's not about whether Ukraine deserves or not. It's like whether all the others deserve Ukraine aspiring at.
Definitely. Ukraine should be in NATO. But a nation at war is not going to be admitted into the alliance.
We should now rather focus on helping Ukraine win this war and push the Russian troops back.
Well, I'm in agreement that we need to stop Russia, but the point being made, if Ukraine is in the midst of a war as it is now, you cannot admit them into NATO now, because in every NATO nation would be obliged to go into Ukraine and take a physical, active part in defeating Russia. No, this is not the time to do it. And yet here's Blinken talking about, oh, we're talking about, they were meeting in Belgium for the 75th anniversary of NATO and started talking about, how can we get Ukraine in? Months ago, they were saying, it's not even going to be acceptable. Ukraine cannot meet our criteria. Now I guess they're going to change the criteria, just like they change everything else. This is not a time for Ukraine to be admitted into NATO. I don't think it will be, but I'm just sounding the alarm now. Let me be that canary in the coal mine in case no one else is doing it. All right, let me turn to something entirely different. This involves transgenders. Well, wait a minute. Don't jump ahead of me, because you'd be going down the wrong path. We just had the debacle involving March 31st, this Transgender Visibility Day. It's an internationally recognized date. About every 30-plus years, it will fall, based on the lunar calendar, on actual Easter. This administration declared March 31st, Sunday, to be Transgender Visibility Day, and they did it on Good Friday, the day of Christ's crucifixion. That in itself angers me. But they could have just let it slide. Yes, they've done it before, but it never fell actually on Easter. This time we had Ramadan, Passover, and Easter all coinciding at the same time. But I will tell you this, and I'll repeat it over and over again, if Transgender Visibility Day fell on the first day of Ramadan, do you think that they would be promoting it like they did because it fell on Easter? And Biden held an Easter roll at the White House, and he put up a little short note, we wish you the best on this Easter, and then he goes to a Ramadan breakfast the other morning. So the woke crowd is still out there pushing everything, which brings us back to the transgender issue. There's a Euphoria star by the name of Hunter Schafer who transitioned into living as a woman in the ninth grade, did it in the ninth grade, now wants to quit the transsexual actress label and just start living as a girl. She told GQ that the label transsexual actress has become stale despite significance with the LGBTQ community. She said, it has not just happened naturally by any means. If I let it happen, it will still be going. As soon as I say it, it gets blast off. It took a while to learn that, and also took a while to learn that I don't want to be reduced to that. I find it ultimately demeaning to me and what I want to do. Especially after high school, I was sick of talking about it. I worked so hard to get where I am, past these really hard points in my transition. Now I just want to be a girl and move on. This is a transsexual that is happy with their transition. Even though they started the ninth grade, they're happy where they are now. But don't label me as transsexual. Just treat me as a girl. But she adds, I know for a fact I'm the most famous trans people in media right now. I do feel responsibility, maybe a bit of guilt for not being more of a spokesperson. But ultimately, I really do believe that not making it the centerpiece to what I'm doing will allow me to go further. I think getting that and doing some awesome stuff is in the interest of the movement, and that'll be way more helpful than talking about it all the time. She adds, it's been intentional that I don't want to do transgender roles anymore. It's intentional. I've got offered tons of trans roles. I just didn't want to do it. I don't want to talk about it. I want to live my life. This is now an adult. I would have been against her at 9 years old doing what she did. She apparently is one of those that could be called a success in the transgender, full puberty blocking and everything else, becoming from male gender to female. It is her life. She is an adult. She's not trying to push it on anyone, even saying, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Let me live my life. Listen, if everyone out there pushing the woke agenda would accept that attitude, we would all get along a lot better. I don't tell you how to do and dress things, although I will protect children, and if you're molesting their minds or their bodies, I will speak up. But otherwise, if you're an adult, unless you're harming a child or doing something to harm someone else, I'm going to be laissez-faire about it. Very liberal to that extent, Larry. Yeah, I guess you could call it that. But look how much better it would be if everyone who's out there pushing this stuff in our faces, those who are members of the LGBT community, and I've told you before, I know several that are strong conservatives, actually. Their sex life, their gender difference from me, 180 degrees. But you know what? They're adults, and it's their decision. But don't push it on everyone else. That's what this actress is saying. And I remind you of our pledge, one nation under God.